Welcome to the commencement of a series of healing the Black community and the African diaspora through discovering the missing pieces of our identity. This self-discovery, the principles of confession and forgiveness found in the Bible, will prepare us for much-needed national, personal, relational, and racial healing. This is the Inspiring Lives broadcast for Monday, April 25th of 2016. You know, today I want to talk to you about my experience in Africa and some of my journey right now as I'm focusing in on helping the African American community find her lost identity. I am writing a book right now that is centered around some of these same issues. And I came back on last Wednesday from the beautiful nation of Zambia. And while I was over there, when I say that it was an amazing experience, a great opportunity to bless many people's lives and to see the state of this nation, to see the capital of Lusaka, I was impacted in a very profound way, especially as I'm studying so intensely the colonization of the continent of Africa, and I'm looking at the devastation and the long-term effects of not really having generational impact and what should have naturally passed down being interrupted through the Middle Passage, and then also being interrupted through slavery, being interrupted by Jim Crow laws. There was just so many different interruptions to that natural progression of blessing that should have came from Africa. And so as I'm on a plane, I'm flying over Africa, I'm flying over the Atlantic Ocean, I really, really begin to see a lot in the spirit and in my heart. And I'm thinking about the Middle Passage. I'm thinking about everything that occurred on that journey from West Africa across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm thinking about people that have been thrown into an ocean as if they are just objects. I'm thinking about people that had lost all hope, lost their sanity, and jumped over the side of Middle Passage ships. I'm thinking about the survivors that made it, the majority of them, in the islands, in the Caribbean islands, and then were brought into slavery. I'm thinking about the coups that happened in Haiti and the Haitian Revolution and how they broke out of slavery by sheer willpower and determination. I'm thinking about how Black people were brought into America as indentured servants and then eventually became slaves, and the progression of how they lost the sense of humanity in this nation. And all this is going through my mind. I'm remembering how they split up the different ethnic groups from Africa intentionally and divided them culturally, and they were no longer able to speak to one another because they made sure they couldn't speak the same languages, and they were brought into a world of confusion and utter shock, the shock of a whole continent within a time span of 30 years that is going to create long-term generational trauma, not only for Caribbeans, not only for African Americans, but for a whole continent. And then I'm thinking about all the resources that were taken from the Africans and from the traditional Africans that lived there for years and years and years, and they were given to Europeans. And to this day, you can see the effect of that colonization on Africans. Although Africa is the most resourceful place on the planet. I mean, if you look at, there's maps online, if you Google resources in Africa, you can see maps that split up the resources from diamonds to oil to all different types of resources that Africa has, yet and still the people are in such great poverty in pockets across Africa. I will also say that Africa is a beautiful place full of people that do have a lot and that are blessed, just as much, and some of them even more, than African Americans or general Americans, white Americans. There is so much blessing in Africa. But my heart was breaking. And when I say that, I wept every day as I was on Africa's land. I cried and cried and cried. And I realized that these tears were not just my tears. These were the tears of Christ for a people. The tears of Christ for a people that had been oppressed for many years. The tears of Christ for people that were considered less, that were going through overt and covert racism. People that didn't even realize how much they've been oppressed because it's been going on generationally. And I'm realizing that these people are all over the world. They are identified as the African diaspora. I've been studying this since 2005, and I've had a heart for the black community since I can remember. And I just want to say and decree and declare that Africa will be healed, and the people that have come from Africa across the world will be restored back to where God wanted them to be. The resources will shift back into their hands. So I've been to Kenya twice, and this was my third trip to the continent of Africa. But this particular experience was very different. It was deep. It was very rich for me. I was blessed to go to cross-cultural missions in two different ways. One is I'm, of course, going to speak and reach a people that are from a whole different nation and a different continent. But then I was also around a lot of white Americans. And so that was a very interesting experience for me to be one of the only black Americans around in the whole nation. And then to see it, the experience from the perspective of people that were not of my same race, white Americans, and then to see it from my perspective and how I felt as a black woman. Now, it was even more intensified because of that. Because of my understanding of the history of what has happened in Africa, and then my understanding of the generational trauma that has occurred with African Americans due to slavery and that separation from the continent that we were destined to be in. Going back to Africa this time really meant more to me than ever before. I just cannot explain. I have moments where we're sitting in a room with youth, you know, teenage youth, and my heart has been for a group of youth across the nation that would just passionately chase after God in prayer and in worship. And when I say they had that there, they do. These youth were just singing these songs, and as I heard the songs, although I did not know the language, I felt the spirit behind those songs, and it was very, very, very much identical, very similar to spirituals that you would hear that we've sung to get us out of slavery. And you could feel that same heart, that same passion, that same force behind the songs that they were singing over there. And that just broke something in me so deeply. It broke something in me, and then I welled up in my heart with a holy type of reverence and excitement and joy, and for lack of better terms, pride for who I am. It was like a piece that was missing in me just clicked back together. And so I always tell people, if you can go to Africa, especially if you're African American or Caribbean American, go to Africa. You will find a piece of yourself there in a way that nothing else can do for you, that identity that we desperately need. And so they sang these songs, and then they began to intensely just worship the Lord. And some of them would stand up, lift their hands, and it was like a little church service in the building that we were in, with youth between the ages of 18, maybe 19 years old, to 21. They had just graduated from high school. And I thought, our youth, unfortunately, do not have that same passion all the time. They laugh at church services, and there's a brokenness, there's a separation between their spirituality. And I do believe that we lost some of that because of slavery, and we need to return to those roots of worship, the depth of worship that you could see there, the passion and the heart that these young people had, and the seriousness about their faith is what has gotten us to where we are today. I just am so grateful for the opportunity to share with you my journey and a little bit of my story. But I'm not sharing this with you just for myself. I'm sharing this with you because I know that this is a piece of a puzzle that will answer the trauma in Black America. Now, what is the trauma? I have a few quotes here of the trauma that we're going through, because sometimes we know it in our head and in our mind. We're sure that, yes, there is a problem, but we don't always know the stats. We don't know exactly how bad it is or where we are. So I have an article that I wrote, and it's called Healing Racial Wounding in America. It's on jadelee.org in the magazine section. And here's some of the quotes. There's a problem today. Now, I'm facing a lot of different rhetoric that there is not racism anymore in America, which I think is complete foolishness. As a Black woman who has experienced racism, as a Black woman who's married to a Black man that has been thrown up on police cars, that has been called the N-word, I choose not to use that word, and he has been mistreated throughout his childhood, chased down by little children, called the N-word as a child. And so you know they're hearing that from somewhere that didn't just come out of nowhere. So to me, as a Black person, I know racism is still a problem. And I know that that's why we are where we are today. Sure, we do need to take responsibility for our behaviors and our actions. But when you put people completely out of their normal habitat in a crisis situation and separate their families and then divide them, and they come out of slavery without resources, without money, they have to fund themselves, they have to figure out how to get jobs, you're not going to have a healthy community or people group. And even with all our great faith, we're still rebounding from that. It's so important to understand that in order to understand where our problems are coming from. So there is a problem today. There are 72% of Black people in America are fatherless. That means that they were born to unwed parents, and they're probably being raised by their mother or their grandmother. And percentage-wise, a lot of fathers are in jail. Well, we could go on and on for why, but we won't get into that in that session. Y'all make another video on that. 69% of Blacks have unintended pregnancies, or they're unmarried. We have family issues, marital issues, split issues. That's clearly coming from slavery. 60% of Blacks live in poverty. 30% of Blacks have abortion, although we're only 14% of the population. 44% of Blacks make up new AIDS patients, although we're only 14% of the population. 1 in 4 Black people have abortion or aborted. 82% of Black women are obese. So now we have issues, and these issues are not 21st century issues. That's what we have to understand. Because if you go to Africa, yes, they have their problems, but they're not all the same problems. And the problems there are probably stemming a lot from being stripped of the resources and having to try to rebound from that. Over here, the problems are stripped from resources, homes, land, family, split, all types of things happening that are causing us to now see the fruit of that, and then being expected to pull ourselves together in a land that is not our own. Whereas in the Caribbean islands, it was extremely harsh, really difficult there, but they also were the majority. We're still a minority in America. And so this isn't about feeling sorry for Black people or feeling like you should pity them and save the poor Black people, but this is about us having an understanding of where we came from in order for us to be healed, because we need to get at the root of the issue if we want to heal the issue. It's also about us going back to an understanding of the norms of Africa in order to be healed. For example, it's very hard sometimes to know what you lost till you see what you lost. It's hard to know all the times if you've been sick since you can remember what it's like to live healed. And in Africa, you're going to see a lot of the healing that's missing. You're going to see up until, of course, the year 2008, we have never seen what it looked like to be a president of a nation in America. Whereas you go, I remember when I went to Kenya, I was amazed to see all black politicians and leaders. It just does something to you being able to not be the minority for a little bit. So for years, I've been in pain over the African-American community, had a burden, seeing our suffering, and also seeing generational confusion, seeing young people that don't know their history, and so they're just having problems without being able to identify, why am I so angry? Why am I so frustrated? Why aren't things working out for me? Not being able to understand how generational trauma occurs. And we know that it's real, because if you're sick physically and you go to the doctor, the first thing your doctor is going to do, even if you're not sick, is they're going to say, honey, give me this piece of paper. They're going to give you a piece of paper and say, honey, fill this out and give me what? Your history. Show me your history. Is there drug abuse in your family, alcoholism in your family, mental illness in your family? And the list will go on and on. Why? Because they know that even physically, medically, these things can pass down, because there are mindsets in some incidents that cause the next generation to keep repeating these behaviors. And so we're dealing with that. We're suffering from generations of mistreatment. And, you know, the other problem is that we can forgive, we should forgive, and we have forgiven much. But I feel like the problem in the black community, I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me on this, is not forgiveness. The problem truly is not being comforted for the pain. And a lot of times, even within the church, white people not understanding the trauma, not understanding the pain, saying, just get over it. Kind of like in a marriage, I could, if I hurt my husband and he's still in pain, or he hurts me and I'm still in pain, and I say, well, you should be over that by now. Get over it. You need to forgive me. And I don't ever feel his pain. I don't do mourning with him. You know, I don't experience some of that pain with him and not speak to him from the neck up, but speak to him from the heart level, then healing doesn't always come. And so we have a healing and a pain, a need issue here, not just the forgiveness sin issue here. And until the white community is also challenged to feel with black people for what they've been through, then a lot of that healing racially is not going to occur. And we're still going to have that divide, that all, that two faces, those two faces we have to wear sometimes as black people. We're one way with black people, another way with white people, because we know that we've had to do that to survive. So there's a lot of lack of understanding of the need for comforting the pain that we have experienced in both the black and white community. Some black people feel like we are just post-slavery and post-racial as a nation. And I think that it's been proven that we're not past that due to some of the racial issues that are springing up more and more and more. It's God's way of saying, hey, there's still an issue here. I want to heal this and I want to deal with it. And it's not going to just be black people forgiven. It has to be white people acknowledging what has happened in our nation. We got to stop erasing things from, like, our history books. You read through the book and you don't learn about the Middle Passage. You don't learn adequately about what was done right here in our land, on our shores. And that is causing a lot of lack of understanding, a lot of lack of compassion. So for me, I really believe that understanding the history of Africa is vital. Understanding the history of Africa is healing. Understanding the history of Africa is to know the missing pieces of the black community. And I picked up some of those pieces to that lost puzzle, but it was a really painful experience to see what we don't have. And to know that it's still missing, even down to basic things like hair, you know, the natural hair movement. Well, we're in the year 2016. What took us so long to learn about cocoa butter, to learn about shea butter, to learn about oil, natural oils, you know, Moroccan and argan oils that we could put in our hair, to learn how to take care of our skin, to get skincare that works well for us, to get makeup that works well for black people. I mean, you're talking about years that it wasn't that long ago that even the civil rights movement, people were being killed on the streets for the color of their skin in our nation all the way up until the 70s, early 70s. And so we're just now starting to be able to, okay, I'm coming out of this now. Let me really, really start living life again. And I would propose to you from some of my journey in Africa that we need that African understanding, because they've had it. It hasn't been as interrupted in some cases as it is here. And we can receive, even in the natural, a lot of wisdom from Africa. So as we went to Africa and we shared our storyline, we were able to create that bridge, and it was amazing. It was foreign information to the youth even there that there was ever a place where Black people weren't considered humans. Their eyes just, they made a face of deep concern when they heard that. And some of them, I could see they were troubled in their mind, couldn't even wrap around the fact that there were people just like them across the world that they were split from. And you could feel the connection as we shared a little bit about slavery there. It was just shock and deep concern and love and a unity. And when any older woman I met there, it was like she was my mother. We were long lost, you know, siblings or kin. And so my heart just was healed in many ways. And I believe that it is a sign of how much healing is about to come in our nation as we get down to the root of our problems. So knowing them, to me, was like a mirror. We could more clearly see ourselves. We could see what's been taken away from us in a way, unknowingly. We were able to see our blessings in America that we received, even in spite of slavery, and even because of the prayers of the slaves and what we've been through. We could see our blessings and treasure those blessings, the little treasures that have been stripped from our identity. We should treasure them all the more, and it should draw us to the God that our forefathers prayed to in America to get out of all of these hardships. And so we're just now approaching the age of African American discovery on another level. And we're hopefully beginning to come out of survival mode as we identify the problems that we've been through and begin to heal from them. And I just want to encourage anyone out there that may be dealing with some of the trauma, some of the fallout, even if you don't know it, the depression that is hidden in the Black community that we don't talk about, suicidal thoughts. Why don't I connect with my child emotionally? Why do I feel like I have to be so hard and I don't have an atmosphere of comfort and affection around me? Everything is ride or die, make it through it, just survive. Why is my family stuck on food stamps and generational poverty? Why don't the woman in my family ever get married and it's so frustrating? They're alone. Why do I have church moms and amazing women, but they're overweight and obese and their health is deteriorating because there's a void in them that's not being filled and they're just carrying so much? There's so much that has really come from slavery, and that's not about being a Black power person or being an angry Black woman. It's just a fact that we need to own, and we need to begin to walk through and identify where these things have passed down. So as we heal, we have to go back. And I know sometimes you don't want to go back. I don't want to go back because it hurts and it's hard. But these stories, the information that needs to pass down is so vital to us healing. I encourage you, study your history, know yourself. Look at where things came from. Buy my book. Read it when it comes out. Read my blog on jaylee.org, because I'm going to keep writing about racial issues and writing about discovering our identity as Black people. And I just want you to be able to see from a new perspective, a different perspective, be marked by the fact that God has a plan for all of this, and we are coming out stronger than ever before. And so now I just want to pray for you I want to pray that you will develop a burden for yourself, for your own people, a love that even if you are pushed down and you feel that, or you've been through racism and you know it's there and you could see how your family's been affected by all this, that the Lord will raise you up like a Joseph that was thrown into Egypt in a prison, and he was able to come back and be a leader and to help his brothers in a time of need. Father, I thank you for everyone that's watching this video right now on YouTube, on my website, wherever they happen to be seeing this. And I just pray for your blessing. I pray, Lord, that any generational problems that have been caused because of slavery in their family lines, that you will begin to deal with those problems. You will uproot them. If they don't know you, they will come into a relationship with you, because that truly is how every single curse, every single issue that's passed down is broken. Do it by your spirit. Do it only you can do, Lord. Lord, let us take a humble, godly kind of pride in who we are and in how much has been sacrificed for us. And let us remember, if Harriet Tubman did it, if Sojourner Truth did it, if Frederick Douglass did it, if all these people were able to come through difficulties and they were people of faith and of prayer and people of action, then there is nothing that we cannot do. And I pray that whatever's lacking in us, the affection, the care, the comfort, the sweetness, whatever may be missing in our lives because our forefathers weren't able to love their own wives or children like they really wanted to and they were in survival mode, I pray that you will break survival mode and you will bring us to a place of identity and strength that should be coming from you and coming from us receiving and retrieving what was lost in Africa. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, bless you for watching this video. And again, I invite you onto my website, jadeblee.org. Go onto the jadeblee.org magazine and you'll see a plethora of articles I keep posting every single week for you to watch. And I'll be on here showing more videos about the African American story, the history, our present times, and the future that is bright for us and the African diaspora. Bless you. Do you have a desire to see your own heart, community, and nation heal from racial wounding? Continue to listen to our weekly broadcast for both inspiration and transformation. I want to personally thank you for listening to today's broadcast. We would love to continue them, but we cannot without your help. Would you consider logging on to www.jadeblee.org and giving a donation under the contact page? Your gift of $10, $20, or $50 is highly valued and will support our ministry to women across the world. I look forward to sharing more words of healing with you in the upcoming days. Please be back for Inspiring Lives. Inspiring Lives with Jade Lee is an outreach of jadeblee.org.